Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
What to watch
on Point of View.
With his own liner, I tell you. With his own liner.
A very important person.
On production. Lee Raymark is in studio with What to Watch on Point of View.
How y'all doing?
Hey, we are so happy to see you.
Yeah,
hey?
Guys, you know, the air up here, oh, so dry. So dry. We need a body of water close by.
Yo, you know what, ne? You can take them out of the thing, the hood. Maro, I wanna ne.
You know how South Africans go to the US for 2 hours and they come back with an accent?
Course, yeah. Darling.
Now I've come back just not being able to deal with the high felt.
You've got to do the pout.
The pout.
I did not say anything about Cape Town.
Love them to bits.
So you're back here in the land of the living.
Yes. It's so good to be back and be in my routine again because, yeah, Cape Town has a different temperament.
It's a country.
Yeah, really. Sunset has just happened,
absolutely.
In fact.
Absolutely. Okay. My God, you are on fire.
Yeah, I've been working.
You were on fire.
I've been working.
Listen to me. Mm. You were on fire this week, eh? What an incredible selection. Really, look.
You see, my little hiatus come with benefits.
Bona. It was brilliant. Your selection this week.
It was also quite interesting to get through. I've been very excited to share it. So.
No, it's really, really good. Okay, so take it away, Girl with the Needle. So when I say to you...
It's good.
...that something scary is good...
Mm.
Then it's
because it is quite dark. I mean, literally, even the treatment, it's done in a black and white, you know, that grayscale.
Yeah.
But it was one of the standout films at Cannes.
Yeah.
And this is Denmark. So it's set in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Denmark's, this is their foreign film entry into the Academy Awards for 2025. So it was really a fascinating movie around this young lady who is. You know, it's post-war. Everyone is trying to figure out what's going on with their lives. And we feel like she's got no one, right? Mm. Because it seems like her husband has passed in the war. And bigger than that, him being passed in the war also means she's unable to get widow benefits because we don't have a body. To say, okay, this man has actually gone out.
A lot.
Yeah. So she stands there. She's just so heartbroken. And then she finds herself through a series of events, some heartbreaking events, being in love with her boss. And then that doesn't work out. And then her husband miraculously returns.
Emerges.
Yeah. But then there's this underworld that's happening where she finds help in the most unlikely of places, forming weird relationships and connections with people who are around her to help her. But it's just this wonderfully dark movie around, one, the resilience of the human spirit, or who doesn't love that? But more importantly, how when women are faced with the hardships of life, they will make it happen. They'll find a way to work around it. And it's amazing to watch how this young lady, Carolyn, finds her way through navigating her relationships that she makes along the way. So it is absolutely brilliant. I thought it was one of those period pieces I was on a really... be annoyed with, but it actually is one of the very dense, very deep, but also very, very, very enjoyable.
So this for me is a film student's piece.
This is
how you teach film.
Technically brilliant.
You would use this as like your case study, and you would say to your students, you see, folks, this is how you make a movie.
But I also was, so you know how we have the normal three acts in a movie? So you've got the opening, you've got sort of where the mess happens, you've got the climax at the end. Here, I found that there was these almost plays within a play, right? Like a movie within a movie where once we get over understanding her husband and what happens there, and then understanding what happens with her boss, and then this last act where she's with this young lady, this older lady Dagmar, who assists her through a patch in her life. That was so different. I mean, you don't even feel how long it is when you watch it. It's an absolutely brilliant movie. It is in theaters as of tomorrow.
Brilliantly shot, brilliantly directed.
Wonderful.
If you are into film, please go watch this.
No, I loved it. I loved it.
I beg you. You are going to thank us later.
I loved it.
Okay. You may even be examined on it.
Next week, we have a pop quiz.
Yeah. A Complete Unknown.
Yes.
Okay, so that releases on Christmas Day.
Yes. So what's interesting about this is that as we get closer and closer to the holidays, we're finding, you know, the releases are becoming sort of spread out. But there's some really key ones that aren't about Christmas because, wow, we'll be inundated. But a story about Bob Dylan and how this wonderful experience about finding, he set in New York, and we find this young 19-year-old Bob Dylan going there to go pursue a life in music, right? I mean, we all know the Bob Dylan story. But it's told with such wonderful captivation because, remember, he was from Minnesota coming to New York, right? It's like they couldn't be coming from Bloemfontein to Joburg. Like, there's such a vast difference. He comes with this new sound. And at the time, you're watching history happen in real time because you never knew. The people around him didn't understand where this music would come from. But then you start seeing him really rise to this massive stardom, and also then fighting with the demons that he hadn't worked out yet because he was quite young when it happened. He finds love, he finds a lot of loss, but also loses himself a lot in the movie. It is an absolutely brilliant. The actor
the
who
actors,
plays him.
I am here for the actors.
People came to work. People came to work. The guy who plays Bob Dylan is a guy called Timothy. There's an accent there. Chalamet, and he is absolutely brilliant.
They are gorgeous.
What I also found interesting about this is that they don't do the very indulgent, like we saw with the James Dean movies. Where you find like, okay, you're really pushing the envelope here.
Yeah.
Very complicated. Can I tell you, even Vanity Fair was like, this is...
Really?
Yeah, and they're really critical.
I love the actors. I'm sorry. For me... They made the movie.
No, they do. They do. And this is interesting because the story is not new. The story is not novel.
You know what it was, right? It was something about them gave it sincerity.
It's also feeling like they respected the work.
This is it. This is exactly that.
You know, it reminds me of very early on in my poor stage acting career that lasted all of 6 minutes when when we did.
There's always another chance, darling.
Hopefully in the next while. But we didn't Macbeth. Yeah. And remember, I went to a boys' school and we were really like, Macbeth. Yeah. But my director, a guy called Stephen Feinstein, was so good. He made us respect every single letter. He said, you don't understand what you're doing. You're playing such a bigger story than you. The legacy of the story is... And you went in there with your chest in the sky because you knew you were part of a long line of people who are doing very hard work. And I felt this with them. I could see the behind the scenes.
Beautiful.
I could see before they call action all the depth in there. It's a fantastic, fantastic
movie. They really were stunning. What I mean by that, not the looks, as they were brilliant.
Yeah, no, they came to work. They came to work. So that goes on Christmas Day in theatre.
The End.
Yeah, so this is an interesting movie. And again, it's very complicated because you have to understand the depth of the human spirit, right? And this is where human nature and character is exposed for the rot that it is. Imagine this family that is post-apocalyptic, right? We're sitting decades under this bunker, which resembles a mansion. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. You've got mom, dad, and a son. There's also what seems to be a gourmet chef, but the chef is also a friend to the wife. Mm-hmm. And there's also a butler sort of person. They're living on, they're carrying on, they're painting and doing the things that aristocrats would do in the time. But then this random black girl just arrives in their midst and really upends this family. Because now you start seeing the interplay of the relationships, right? So for instance, the son has never known any other woman but his parents, and this gourmet chef was a family friend. And they're quite close. And the dad has never had any other person enter this ecosystem of theirs because they live a very tight world. But we find out exactly what happened to the outside world for them to be in this space and their role that they play in what happened in the world for them to have this little bunker. So you see them also dealing with the fact that, you know, the world has collapsed outside, yet we've got this opulence. Because it's not just a bunker, guys. It's not a bunker like...
No. It's cool. It's like, wow.
It's palatial. It's massive. Wow. And then you start seeing the interplay of the relationships. You start seeing how the mom and the gourmet chef best friend of hers, the interplay and what happened to them. But also, they've kept the secret away from their son about exactly why they became this people that they are. Mm. And they get forced now to almost expose their lives. It is an absolutely riveting story.
Yeah. You know what I really liked about it? It's not a predictable story.
At all.
It's, you know, you once you've seen some storylines, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
And this is not one of them.
I was so afraid it'd be like an I Am Legend part of this, where, like, you know, you're waiting for him to go out and fight the boogeyman outside, but then you realize the boogeyman is within, right?
Yeah.
So it was an absolutely brilliant.
And the script writing is brilliant.
I was just slightly annoyed that I think her name is Tilly or Tildale or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She is an executive producer on, there's like 19 executive producers,
mm-hmm.
but they do this thing where they just pop out into song. They just pop out into song, Yonki Ndao, and they don't sing.
Yes,
they don't sing. The they just sing the dialogue.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the critics were saying, either don't sing or actually make a song that we can sing outside.
I would rather not have had them sing.
Yeah.
I think everything else worked.
Yeah.
Without the singing. And the dialogue is great. You can see that script writers are back to work.
And they've got work.
Yeah, no,
I just annoyed because it was a bit jarring because people were like, you're not giving me, if you're going to make a musical.
Do it.
Yeah.
Properly.
Don't just in the middle then start singing your lyrics for no reason. Because we sit there going, wait, why? Why? Anyway.
Okay.
You can wake up to the theater tomorrow and watch the end.
Okay. Carry on.
Ah. Yabonale. Dubuli,
one we.
So this is my favorite kind of things. I'm a big aviation fan, but this is interesting because you get these.
Wow!
You know, it happens. Eh? It's all happening there. So Netflix is giving
us a thriller.
It's a suspense thriller.
Yeah.
But the actors are really good in this as well. So
yes.
Carry On, referring to Carry On Luggage, and how
that belt, guys, that belt. The conveyor belt.
Carousel. yes, the one that you go through when you go through security. And so this man finds an earpiece. He works for TSA. He works for the Transport Safety Agency of America, which is sort of like fidelity yako airport. So they've got this earpiece that he picks it up, and there's a whole host of instructions happening. This guy is being blackmailed. But what was crazy for me was how this movie is, there's two movies in one. At the beginning, you see this happy-go-lucky man who loves his job at the airport with this beautiful girlfriend. They're making plans, they're busy living, and then this sort of, you know,
another universe,
new intervening force comes in and sort of throws him out. But we don't realize just how street smart he is, just how athletic he is, and just how much of a Rambo they had.
You see him differently.
You umola different, but I also
suddenly you realize, oh, there's a muscle underneath that shirt.
But I also appreciate that it wasn't just because it gets quite repetitive, right? Like once you've seen Die Hard 1, you've seen every one of them, and all of them are sitting in an airport, and ultimately, you know, something explodes. But in this one, it's also the unlikely characters to become these because he's a lowly agent, get security, you know. And
let me just put it this way: you've seen this one many times,
before, very many, very many.
Marie. It wasn't too, I mean, it didn't hurt.
And it got Netflix.
It's December. And the little muscle underneath the shirt didn't hurt anybody.
No. I mean? And the acting was decent. I really appreciated that the guys were
there
on
were there. Times when you could see why you feel it. Like,
no, but
you must sell, ne? You better sell.
And what's your kiki
and then the eyebrow goes up. Every now and then, you can see
There were moments, and you could tell that he was heavily influenced by Bruce Willis, right?
Of course.
Because really, all you need to do is rewind the clock about 10 years, and you've got Die Hard 3. You've got exactly as it is, fighting and killing people randomly. But I really appreciated that also it was a different, as you said, the scriptwriters are back. For us, you know, suspense and thriller kind of guys, we love this because also something new.
Can these guys also just sometimes stop trying to look beautiful while they shoot?
Actually,
can he stop? I mean, because there were times when I was thinking, okay, it's fine, we get it. Just shoot, stop.
But this is why you and I like Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Because Daniel Craig, as much as he's James Bond 007, he knows how to get into the character and really shed. I mean, in the last two movies we've reviewed, he looks old. He looks tired. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very clearly playing an older character. These guys, I think also, they're still very much about young Hollywood.
They are watching.
Uniform his uniform. Sleeves. I was like, hey, maybe it's my Christmas outfit.
And he knows it too.
No, and there is also one of those cult castings where they know, like Ryan Gosling.
He knows it.
You know people love Ryan Gosling. They'll watch a movie as long as in there, Ryan Reynolds.
my final.
Yeah.
I got the feeling they were told, this is your breakout movie.
Yeah.
This will be your breakout movie.
So interestingly enough, when you start looking at the comments and some of the YouTube videos that have been set out and some of the interviews that they set up, he's very much aware of that.
Really?
The actor is very clear that it's...
This is the moment.
The song, you know, and he pushes quite hard to make sure that he gets his moment in the sun.
Okay. Well, he did okay. Then we're going to the theater too.
We're going to the theater. So I'm incredibly excited about this because the woman of, you know, Mama Matsunyane has a wonderful, illustrious history, but also comes from good stock. But she really has carved a place for herself in theatre in South Africa. I had a wonderful, wonderful opportunity early on this year to be emceeing an event that she was performing at.
Mm.
And she has this very easy way of getting into your head. I was at Varsity with her, so I know her from back then. And this is exactly quintessential Momo. It's about these crazy women who are coming together and their interactions are absolutely hilarious, but the subtext is actually very deep.
Mm.
It is at my favorite theater, the Market Theater. It's been running from the 27th of November all the way to the 15th of December. But it's life in the township in the way that if you live in Guguletu, in Kaya, in Langa, in Soweto, in Tembisa, you know exactly what they're talking about. And they play very deeply to those nuances, but also show you some of the ridiculousness of how the world views these characters.
Stereotypes.
And the stereotypes and how wrong the stereotypes are. Because sometimes they make them seem like they are irreverent, people who are uneducated, not resourceful, and township women in particular are some of the most resourceful, hardworking women in the country. And you see it that it's come back.
Yes, it's come back. Yes,
it was up for popular demand. So please go check it out. It's still running right now, all the way to mid December.
Thank you, Leroy. See you next week.
Bye bye.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.